You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the PNC Bank in Strongsville. Come on and check us out here. Great food, great drinks, ticket giveaways, and more. The Dog Pound still euphoric over the Browns' win over the Titans, the biggest comeback in NFL history on the road. And joining us now live out here at the PNC Bank in Strongsville, safety Tashawn Gibson. And Gip, what did that comeback mean to this team?
You know, it meant a whole lot for us to come back and win in that kind of fashion on the road. Coach Pett always talked about how hard it is to win on the road in this International Football League, and it truly is. And I think that coming back in that kind of fashion, we would have liked to get ahead early and not have it so dramatic. But, you know, coming back, man, it showed the resilience of this team. And we were just coming out there. We was prepared. We started off slow. But the way we finished, man, I can't tell my hat off to those guys enough, man. We had all 53 guys bought into what Coach Pett and his staff coach for the week, and we came out there and we showed it the last two quarters of the game.
Safety Tashawn Gibson joining us now, and of course two interceptions on the season, big pass breakup at the end of that game where I was holding my breath. What goes through your mind though on a play like that where he throws it up, it's just you and another guy one-on-one, you know these refs like to get in there and get right. That yellow flag, right. What goes through your mind on a play like that, because that was a big one?
You want to secure it first and foremost, and you know, you as the ball in there, I swear the ball felt like it was in the air for about 5 minutes. But as the ball approached, get a little closer, my natural reaction was to get this interception. And, you know, he jumped up and he was crying and wanted a flag. But, you know, I just wanted to secure it. Once I knew I wasn't going to get the interception, make sure he couldn't catch it. And that was what I wanted to do to try to secure the victory for us. But, you know, the ref told me after, he's like, that was a good football play. You know, you didn't touch him. And, you know, he was whining for the flag, but I'm not going to give it to him. You know, that's all I can ask for.
Us receivers, man, we're notorious for wanting flags, even when guys like him don't touch us. But, you know, Giff, my question to you, man, it's been a lot of fun, man. You're a ball hawk. You know, and a guy that you're playing on Sunday, Troy Polamalu, is known for being a ball hawk. There's a guy named Ed Reed I got to play against for a long time that was known as a ball hawk. And I would say it's about time for us to have our established ball hawk, and I'd be just as happy to watch you be able to do that. My question to you, coming in, you know, getting your first few years in the league here, how does having a guy like Dante Whitner come in help you in a leadership role, or and maybe in the education role, and something that maybe you're not familiar with seeing? Right. How does a guy with that type of a pedigree come in and help you?
Having somebody like Dante Whitner paid dividends for me in this early in my career. You know, bringing somebody in him, he's not only like a vocal leader, but, you know, he's an emotional leader. He's the physical leader of this team. And I sit right next to him in the meetings, and having him right there, and it's just small things about the game. He's been in the league for 9 years, have great success. You know, he's been to the Super Bowls. He's been to the Pro Bowl. So I'm kind of like a sponge to him. And, you know, small things into the game that, you know, me being young and fresh in the game, if you will, probably haven't processed, you know, such as, you know, small tendencies as when a quarterback comes to the line and he might check with a receiver who he's going to throw it to, or, you know, just small things within a game. And you got to play a game within a game to be able to play with these quarterbacks, such as the Drew Brees of the world and the Peyton Mannings and, you know, these great quarterbacks in which we got in this division. So having him in there, man, has been huge for me. You know, anything, any question, I know that I can rely on Dante Whitner to be able to answer my question and give me something that I can go to the field and use. And I think it's been huge to have somebody like him, man. I look up to him. And you know, he's a great guy on and off the field.
The thing that's interesting about that, the best advice that I was ever given was from Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And Jason, when I was playing with him in New York back in the day, it told me that if you treat this game like a job and not a game, it'll take you places. And I should commend you, because when you're smart enough to realize that Dante has what it takes to be successful in this league, and you're sitting there and you are a sponge, I think that is going to pay big dividends for you. And I would say for Cleveland Browns fans here that when you have a guy that's been in the league for a few years like Gip, taking notes already, the guy's going somewhere.
That's good, and we like to have that. He's the center fielder on this defense. As I said, already two interceptions on the young season, one which he brought back to the house for six there. And you talked about the fans and what they're going to get with Gip. What are you guys getting from these fans? Because you talked about going on the road, but right. I'll tell you, I was on that sideline. At the end of that game, it did not feel like the Browns were on the road in Tennessee. The Dog Pound really traveled well in that game.
That's huge. Anytime you could go on the road and it feels like a home game, anybody who's been a part of an NFL football facility or establishment will know that that's huge to go on the road and get a win. On top of that, make it feel like a home game, and that was huge, man. And you know, I tip my hat when it. I seen it in pregame, and you know, I seen a lot of orange, and you know, it was real orange. It was loud at first, you know, and at the end of the game, it paid dividends. You seen it; it was flooded with brown and orange, and that's just a humbling experience to see that our fans, man. I feel like we had the best fans in all of football, and they went out and they showed it, man. And I think that I can attest to them for being part of the victory, man, because it was huge, man. It sounded like a home game for us, man, and that was huge for us, man, and we'll really appreciate it.
What are you expecting this Sunday against the Steelers? Steeler week. It's a big week for you guys, an opportunity to get to 3-2, a team that you dominated in the second half of that game.
Right.
How do you guys build on that confidence, and what are you expecting from the crowd on Sunday?
You know, first and foremost, we know the crowd is going to be at all-time high. You know, after that victory, man, you know, I feel like the city is truly behind us, and as they always have been, and, you know, it's just a great time to be a Cleveland Brown right now. And just going into the game, we definitely know that it's going to be a tough game. It's always a tough game every time we play them. And,
especially
you know, just
this
coming
year, every game is a tough game.
You know, and, you know, this year, you know, we feel like we can play with anybody. We have the confidence, and we know that the offense is going to go out there and put up points, and we know the defense is going to have to come up, and we're going to have to man up and play good football on the back end. And that's what we got to do. And I think that it's going to be a huge testament for us as a overall football team that we can come out and we can get a win here. I mean, that'll be huge for us. So we all excited. We definitely want to bring the win back to the dog pound. And you know, ain't no better feeling than getting a win in front of our home crowd.
Now, when you look at just the stats, says the Browns are 31st in defense. But every game you watch, there are stretches where you guys are dominant.
Right.
What have been the differences as you see it in the stretches where you guys aren't so dominant, and then when you guys turn it on and look like a top five defense in the NFL?
I think when you look at it, and if you pay close attention, it's just small things. It's not that some guys coming out there and they're flat out whooping us. It's just guys doing small things. We might have a three tech that's jumping out of the gap. We might have a missed tackle here or a blown coverage here from poor communication. I think that we have the guys. You know, we have Carlos Dansby that heads this defense. You know, I think he's one of the most underrated linebackers in the game. You have Whitner. You have Joe Hayden on the outside. Gilbert Buston. The list can go on. I think we have guys in every single position for us not to be a dominant defense. And, you know, when you look at it like that, I think if we just go out there, play sound football, I think that we can be able to compete with any offense in the National Football League. And I think that's what we emphasize in that. We're going against one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, in my opinion. And I think if we can play sound football, execute, and do your job, I think we have success come Sunday.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier about the little things, and what you just said there, right, Gibson, we've got little things ultimately turn into the big things. And thank God they're not big things that we have to correct. They're little things. It's gap fits. It's coverages, maybe a blown assignment, maybe just a little bit more communication. But another thing that we talked about earlier, you know, we've already hit on Dante. You know, I knew Dante because I grew up in East Cleveland myself. Has he started? Are you going to be ready to jump on his back this Sunday and go for a little bit of a ride? I'm curious if him or Brian even started to just kind of communicate to you guys vocally the importance of this game, just for having two hometown guys getting ready to go out there and try to bring a win to the dog pound, like you mentioned earlier.
You see Dante and Brian and those guys, man, are those guys are leading the locker room on the field, and you see it. But, you know, I can only imagine the magnitude and their attitude approaching this game. You know, those are professional guys, so they handle each and every game, you know, the same. But you gotta get the sense that this is going to be a different kind of feeling. You know, it's a lot on the line right now, even though it's so early in the season. But this can be the telltale all in the season, in the division. And, you know, being a hometown kid, what better opportunity, what better time to come and beat your rivals, man. Pittsburgh Steelers, man, in front of your hometown, in front of the home crowd. I could just only imagine, man. And I want to kind of like I told Whit, I want to win this game for him. You know, we want to win it for the city, want to win it for us. But you know, I want to win it for Whit, man. You know, growing up, he's definitely accustomed to the rivalry between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. So you know, how much you think it'll mean to a guy like Brian Hoyer and Dante Whitner? I mean, this would be huge. And you know, we definitely gonna go out there. We're gonna put up our best foot and see what happens come Sunday.
If I had that mentality when I was here a few years ago, I'm gonna see if I could sneak a jersey on just to sit on the sidelines.
maybe
throw me in the mix for a guy you want to win one for, because I don't like the Steelers at all.
No, and Ben Roethlisberger's been too good. Yeah, we can all attest to that. We'd like to throw a few more losses in his column there. This game against the Steelers on Sunday, obviously a massive one. Talking with safety Tashawn Gibson about that game. And when you look at a team like the Steelers that has given the Browns some problems, Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, some big play guys on the outside. How important is it to make sure, A, that you keep Ben Roethlisberger under check? Because the play's never really over never. With him, right? What kind of a challenge does he present from that standpoint?
I think he definitely presents a challenge. As you've seen in the first game, he should have been sacked about four times in one play. He scrambled out, made a huge throw to Antonio Brown, and, you know, that was a momentum slider for them. And I think that anytime you plan a guy like him, you got to be gap assigned a line, and you got to be ready to rush the passer and be disciplined in what you do. You know, if he's a big guy, you know, he's looking like a linebacker. He's about 245, 250. You know, he's hard to bring down. So, you know, you definitely got to gang tackle and get him in the back. He's a lot more elusive than you give him credit for him being so a guy so big. So I think that if we can do that, we can contain him first and rely on our run defense to stop the run, I think it'll be a huge day for us. But it all starts with him. He's the head of it all. He's the source of it all. If we can contain him, I think it'll be a good day for us.
Now, you entered this league as an undrafted free agent, and by this point you look like such a stud out there that people probably don't remember that fact. Another undrafted free agent from this year had a big impact in that game against Tennessee, Kawan Williams.
Huge
sack, big pass breakup, a third down tackle on Kendall Wright that a lot of people aren't remembering but was a massive play in that game. How impressed are you with what he's done, and how excited are you for what he's bringing to this team right now?
Man, being an undrafted guy myself, I know what it takes, and I know the struggle that it takes to make an NFL football team, let alone be able to get on the field and just be able to show what you can do. And I think that he's made huge strides, and, man, I can't attest enough, man, to his work ethic, him in the classroom, for being so young of a player, man. And when he was granted the opportunity to play, I was more than confident. You know, I can wholeheartedly tell you that I didn't have a worry in my mind that he wasn't going to go out there and get his job done. And I think that all guys in that DB room knew what he was capable of doing. So him to come out there and play, I mean, it's huge for him, man. It's a huge confidence booster for him being so young in this league. And I think that the future is bright for him. He can do it all, man. He's physical. He's going to give you a good effort on special teams. He's going to play hard. And I like having somebody like that on my squad. I like having somebody like that on the back end with me, man. And I can't say enough good things about K1.
When somebody steps up like that who wasn't drafted, oftentimes it's at the expense of someone who was drafted.
Very true.
And Justin Gilbert was taken eighth overall to be that third corner. And right now it's K1. How is that dynamic playing out? And what can Justin learn from this early experience going forward?
You know, I think that the Joe has kind of – because Joe was a early first-round draft pick, so Joe can kind of attest to Gilbert and kind of, you know, guide him along this. I think that this is a learning experience for him. I think that Justin Gilbert definitely have all the tools to be a good cornerback. He's big, he's tall, he's fast, he's physical. He can do it all. I think that right now, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people don't understand for young guys in this league is mentally. I think the mental part of it is huge. You know, you got a guy like that with all the athletic tools can run with any receiver in the National Football League, but mentally sometimes it can be overwhelming. And I think that's kind of what has hindered Gilbert in his process. You look at it, you turn on tape, and it's a play where he will look just as good as Joe, and then it's the next play, you know, you can see strides of a rookie. And I think that, man, once he definitely get it mentally down packed, the sky's the limit for him. His ceiling is so high, man. He's going to be a great cornerback in this defense, no doubt about it.
The thing that's interesting about that is there's one secondary in the NFL that comes to mind right now, and it's the Seattle Seahawks and the Legion of Boom.
Right.
What's happening right now here in Cleveland is when you start getting the veterans with the younger guys and everybody starts to build that cohesiveness, you start to build depth. And there's a confidence when you're playing the defensive backfield and you look in front of you, you don't have a question about who's playing because you know those guys are going to do their job. And what I see personally right now is a lot of the older guys helping out the younger guys, and you're going to build that confidence. You're right. At this point in the game, the difference, I told you, from a rookie to a wily veteran, the knowledge that goes in there, there's very, very few people that can go in there and just not miss a beat. But the learning element of it right now is where you guys come into play. And I think that that's going to be something special for these guys in the future to know that it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback or cornerback. If we have an injury, next man up, and we're just going to go take people's heads off. I think that's a great thing.
It is a great thing to see that depth building here in the secondary. It's a young depth, too, which is very exciting for the future of the Browns. Now, people forget, because of the way last season ended, that there was a point where the Browns were 2-2, went on to be 3-2. It didn't seem that way at the end of the season, but it was there. What I want to know is, because for my – I was in the building a lot then. I'm in the building a lot now, more now. everything feels different to me. And I want to know if in the locker room, does it feel different to you guys as well, even though the numbers might be the same as a year ago, that the trajectory, the passion, the resilience, the camaraderie is different?
I absolutely agree with you. Though at this year, at this time last year, we were 2-2, went on to win, go 3-2. I think that the feeling that you get now is that instead of feeling like we can play with anybody, we feel like we can beat anybody. And
huge.
I think that that's the biggest difference. You know, when that offense take the field, they have a swagger about themselves that they know. I remember Hoyer told us after that touchdown in Tennessee, he said, we're going to come back and it's going to be 17. We're going to put up another touchdown and we're going to continue to put up points, man. We're going to win this football game. And you look at it and, you know, I think that we playing with an all-time high. You know, I've been here 3 years and I can truly say that the way that this team is playing, the confidence that we have, you know, that the offense, the defense have confidence that the offense is going to put us in a great situation. The defense have confidence in the defense that they're going to get the ball back. And, you know, we all have confidence in the special teams. And I think that when you playing with that kind of confidence, I think that the sky's the limit, man. And
we haven't even
huge.
Seen 60 minutes
and
yet.
We haven't seen a full 60 minutes, which is a scary part.
Right.
When we put 60 minutes together, I think it's going to be huge, man. And I think that Sunday we put 60 minutes, I think that the dog pound is going to truly see the true Cleveland Browns.
The dog pound's going to dance. Man.
I love it. Everybody's going to be – it's going to be a dance party at First Energy Stadium. Gip, thanks so much for being with us. You got a long line of people out here at the PNC Bank who want to get your autograph, take some pictures, shake some hands. But we appreciate the time, the great insights. Keep up the great play. And go Browns this Sunday
Browns,
against the Steelers.
Man, I appreciate you for having me.
All right, you got it. One of the best players on this team and certainly one of the best safeties in the National Football League, Deshaun Gibson. Fortunate to have him with us for so long here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. We'll be back with some more thoughts on the Browns when we return.